Good morning. It's a beautiful sunshiny day. I'm glad to see the sunshine. It was a kind of a stormy night last night, so it's nice to wake up and have the sunshine today. This morning, I want to talk to you about a topic that comes up from time to time. Why do we call ourselves the Church of Christ? As you read through the New Testament, you'll find the church being referred to as the Church of God, the Church of Christ, certainly. Most of the times, you'll find that he's talking about the church at a certain place. And he'll just say, the church. Why can't we just call ourselves the church at Southside? Would that be scriptural? That'd be scriptural. But the important thing for us to remember always is that when you read something anywhere in the Bible, always read it in its context. And that includes its historical context. You need to remember that when we're reading about the church in the New Testament, there wasn't all of these hundreds or thousands of denominations that also claimed allegiance to Christ. There was just one. And so when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, or the church at Rome, or when Jesus addressed the church at Ephesus and each of those seven churches of Asia, they were all churches of Christ. And so we find in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, as Paul is closing this letter to the church at Rome, he says, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." New King James Version reads. The King James Version says, "Salute you," but the word is greet. The churches of Christ. Why did he choose that phrase? Why not the churches of God greet you? Would that have been just as accurate and truthful and scriptural? You might say, yes, it would be. But there's a reason why the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to use this phrase, the churches of Christ greet you. I'd like to share with you what I believe are some of the reasons for that. First of all, we need to recognize that the word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which literally means the called out. It can refer to any assembly. Even we find it in the book of Acts being referred to as a civic assembly, that the city came together in an assembly, and that was called the church, the ekklesia. Well, the Church of Christ is a called out body as well. We are called out of the world, called out of our sin, and into a relationship and fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what the Church of Christ is. And we'll develop that as we go through this lesson this morning. The Church of Christ, why is it called the Church of Christ? I'd just like for us to consider the relationship between Christ and the church. First and foremost, and maybe for you it did for me, the first thought that came to my mind was the passage that we find in Matthew chapter 16 and verses 16 through 18, where Jesus had asked his apostles, "Who do men say that I am?" And so they told him all of the different things that men were saying Jesus was. And finally Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And it was Simon Peter who answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." That means son of Jonah. He said that I am the Son of God. You are the son of Jonah. And you need to realize that Jesus said it that way for a reason. Jesus wasn't figuratively the Son of God. He was the Son of God, just as Peter was the son of his father, Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will build my church on this rock. What rock? You know, when you build a building, you want to build it on a rock. You want to build it on a solid foundation. If there isn't a solid foundation, you provide a solid foundation for it to be built on. Jesus says, my church is built on this rock. What rock? Well, that confession that Peter had made, that recognition that Jesus of Nazareth is not just another man. He's not just the son of Joseph and Mary. He is the Son of God. He is the Christ, the Son of God. On this rock, on this foundation, I will build my church. John chapter 8, Jesus plainly said, if you do not believe, you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you will die in your sins. You won't come out of your sin. You'll remain in your sin. You remain separated from God. But if we believe in Him, trust Him, obey Him, live for Him, we come into fellowship with Him. On this rock, on this foundation, I will build my church. So Christ built His church. Man didn't build it. Man was authorized to go forth and proclaim the word that would call people out of their sin and into this relationship with Christ. But it was Christ who authorized them to go and to teach and to bring others in. Christ died for the church. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands are told to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. He paid the price of death for our sin so that we might escape the punishment of our sin and be found in fellowship with him. He purchased the church. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus told them to take heed to themselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers, and feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. It is indeed the church of God. It is the church that is a body, is a kingdom that Christ is going to deliver to the Father. But it is a kingdom that the Father purchased with his own blood, the blood of his own Son. In fact, as we find in verse 25, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It is betrothed to him. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And just as we all realize how much our brides take our names and our identity, so also those who come out of the world to have their sins forgiven by God and to walk with Him in newness of life, so also we identify with He who gave Himself for us, loved us, died for us, paid that price for us. We are betrothed to Him. He is the head of the church. Colossians 1 and verse 18 says, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Christ, might have the preeminence. He is the head of the body. He is the one that we go to for our direction. Ephesians 5 and verse 23 says it this way. And we just noticed it says, Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the church. As we noted in Ephesians 5 and verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body.